From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Hope Academy of Western Wisconsin has had good success in recent years, helping teenage mothers get a high school diploma and with other parenting support. But the agency that serves parents in La Crosse, Vernon, Trempealeau, and Houston counties has also been struggling to raise money. The Hope Academy announced today that it will merge with the Family and Children's Center and continue to provide services. I talked with Hope Academy Executive Director, Dr. Tricia Brainerd, and Family and Children's Center President and CEO, Mike Bame, about the merger that begins January 1st.
It really came out of, I think, some needs that Hope Academy had in terms of sustainable funding. And from Family and Children's Center's perspective, it really came out of how do we help sustain an important program in the community in a way that really helps us fulfill our mission, and we think at the end of the day have a greater impact on services in the community. So that's kind of where it came from.
And I know that a lot of different organizations are having a tough time right now financially. Can you talk about the Hope Academy's financial situation and why it is so difficult?
We're a small nonprofit, and so we have to contract out or hire someone to audit those kinds of things, which in a larger nonprofit, you have that in place in an infrastructure. And so those expenses are difficult to maintain. When you're a human service agency, most of your capital is invested in the employees. And so that's really where the bulk of the your resources are used. As education funding and funding around the community became harder to get, funders stepped up and said, we want more collaboration. I think that's what we were trying to respond to, in addition to that we didn't have a good picture because we didn't have the infrastructure. So the financial picture of our agency was, I think, difficult to sustain without getting some help.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like with Hope Academy, there is this major focus on education. And with Family and Children's Center, it's more of like the social and health aspects. So coming together, can you talk about the changes that'll make for teen parents in the community and the different services that the two of you combined will be able to provide?
Hope Academy is based on what's called a family literacy model, and that involves four components. Academics is one component, parent education is another, early childhood education, and what we call a child development kind of mommy support group and mommy and me time. So we're strong in the academics, but I would say that we're also equally as strong in those other components. And we were familiar with Family and Children's Center because of our collaboration in Healthy Families, and they're taking kind of, you know, those components through the home visiting program with Healthy Families. And that was real attractive to us to try to expand, I think, in that area.
And Mike Bame, can you talk a bit about the Healthy Families program and, sure, and how you work with teen parents?
Our Healthy Families program is pretty closely associated with Hope Academy currently. A lot of the teen moms participate in the Healthy Families program. One of the reasons we are interested in, we think that our missions are very similar. Ours is maybe a little broader as an agency than Hope Academy's in working specifically with teen moms, but certainly the work they do ties in nicely with the work we do. In fact, Tricia and I were just talking today, they have a teen mom that participated in our alternative school. So we do some education programming through Family and Children's Center as well. But the social supportive work that Hope does fits really nicely with what Family and Children's Center does.
So do you think with your forces combined, will you be able to reach out to more teen parents? Because obviously not every teen mm-hmm. parent in the La Crosse area is able to go and reach out to your services.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the goal, is that we would be able to stand stronger. I think that you're right, not every teen mom particularly fits. But I think teen parents in general need pretty explicit parent education and child development. Older parents tend to rely a lot on how they were parented, and teen parents do that also. What we want to do, though, is kind of intervene in that and provide some modeling and some coaching so that teen parents children are at higher risk for developmental delays, disabilities, abuse, neglect. So they're in a high risk population. And so the model that we have combines the teen parent and the child being educated all at the same time. And so our hope would be that we could reach more teen parents and teen moms that are looking for something that will help them graduate from high school, but also help prepare them for their next transitions into parenthood. What I find with teen parents is they walk into worlds. They have this adolescent risk-taking kind of world in which they want to go out and be with their friends, and that's developmentally appropriate. At the same time, there's this mommy instinct that kicks in and that says, I want to be this good mom. What we want to do by the time they end their programming with us is they're firmly planted in that mommy world, transitioning into either higher ed or into employment full time.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guests today are Dr. Tricia Brainerd. She's the executive director of Hope Academy, and Mike Bain. He's the president and CEO of Family and Children's Center. I'm wondering if we can talk about the issue of teen pregnancy in the La Crosse area. Are rates higher here compared to the rest of the state?
When you look at the high population centers in this state.
Sure, in Milwaukee, obviously, you're going to have more, Dane County.
You know, I think for the size that we are, I don't see us any higher or lower. If you want some figures, in 2010, there were 64 teen moms in La Crosse County, 15 in Vernon County, and Trempealeau County had 23. We serve all three counties. We also cross the river. We have some students who live in Houston County. We serve moms 14 to 20, and so the 18 to 20-year-olds are not connected to a high school, and they're working on a GED. And so sometimes they cross the river to come over to get that parenting and child development piece.
The number of teen pregnancies, I believe, has actually declined, mm-hmm. which is a good thing. But the fact remains that when you have a teen parent, a teen mom in our community, the risk factors are compounded for multiple things that impact the community, that impact that child and that parent, that family for a long time, often generational issues, that the importance, the impact that Hope Academy has, and the thing that attracted us mission-wise to them was their outcomes. And Tricia can certainly talk better about that than I can, but to have a 100% graduation rate for a population where 40% of teen moms drop out of school are incredible outcomes, and outcomes that as an agency, as a provider in this community, we did not want to see go away. So that was a driving force for us in this merger. One of the questions you asked, Maureen, was about building capacity, essentially. Could we provide more services for teen moms? I think this merger will help with that. I think that we could provide more of Hope Academy to teen moms if there's a need. The other thing that we can bring to the table is the connection with healthy families. Hope Academy will now be located in the same building as healthy families. So there will be a better, stronger connection there. Our therapists that we have already employed at the agency will be more available for teen moms that might need some help in the mental health area. Our alternative school is on site. If a teen mom needed some resources from there, or other services that we have. So in addition to that, Tricia and I have talked about, are there other needs that these teen moms or families have that we could now have the resources to help develop? For instance, where are the dads in these scenarios? And could we tie in some services or develop ways to work with the dads to keep the dads involved with the babies and strengthening that family component?
Because you're mostly working with teen moms, is that correct?
Yes.
Is it mostly just because that's socially how it's worked out? Or where are the dads and where are the different resources for them?
Because most children of teen parents end up with the teen mom, then that's who we target. We found that while we don't want to isolate teen moms, there's some kind of synergy that takes place when you get teen moms together and in a supportive environment. They begin to mentor each other. Normal becomes you know, they've been in high school where they're the only teen parent or one of the few teen parents. And so within that, our group, they become, you know, I feel comfortable here. And
sure,
I feel,
someone understands me,
yes,
finally.
Exactly. So we've tended to not serve teen fathers really it's based on resources. We only had so many resources, and so, you know, we concentrated on teen moms. There are few national programs for teen dads also. So on a national level, you know, we tend to, I don't know if ignore is the right word, but we tend to not serve those teen dads. And in many of our discussions, both when we talked at the board level with FCC and their community supporters, they were very interested in how this merger might be able to expand services to reach out to populations that we're currently not reaching. I think that's an exciting part of what can happen, is that possibility.
As everyone knows, I mean, not having a father present. And who knows, maybe the teen moms are going home at the end of the day and dad stops by every now and then.
Mm-hmm. About 20% of our teen moms are homeless at any given time.
Really? Mm-hmm.
90% are living at the federal poverty level or below. Mike was talking earlier about the intergenerational cycle of all this. Interestingly, last year I had read some research that talked about the incidence of teen parents' children being a teen parent was very high. So we had 10 students at the time. So I went around the table and I said, how many of you had a teen parent? And 100% of them said their mom was a teen mom.
Wow.
And that was very enlightening to me in terms of that. We need intervention, strong intervention, which means that it has to be driven by resources.
I mean, is there any idea why that happens, why teen moms are more likely, their children are more likely to also become teenage parents? Is there any idea why that happens?
A couple of things happen. So they're more unsure. I think that has impacts generationally. Also, they tend to have less information or less knowledge about child development. We work very hard on giving them the tools and talking about brain development for birth to three-year-olds. And then we also supervise their interactive play with their children. So we're coaching and interacting with them about how to put into all that theory into practice. I think those components miss unless you explicitly work on with teen parents. So I think that's part of the reason. And then the idea that 60% don't graduate. By age 30, only 1.5% of the women who had teen children end up with a college degree. I think all of that impacts then that cycle of repeating, you know, kind of what you know.
Are most of these pregnancies, are they planned or are they unplanned?
If the teen moms were here talking to you, they would say they were unplanned and that they certainly love their children and they have a strong drive to be a good mother. But I also think that they would acknowledge to you that it's tough and hard and they could do things over again. They would not do that.
So Mike, can you talk about the importance of getting many of these teen moms on the track towards getting their GED, towards finishing high school, and then possibly even going on to college or getting a stable job?
You know, the majority of teen moms often come from economically and educationally depressed families. They tend to be in that same boat themselves. By nature of that, their children will tend to be in that same boat. So I think the great thing about Hope Academy is that it can step in and break that cycle. Again, the fact that they have 100% graduation rate for a mom that comes into their program is definitely breaking that cycle. To the extent we can enhance and bring in other types of services to meet needs that teen moms or hopefully the dads have or the children, you know, we want to do that. I think that the neat thing, the unique thing that Hope Academy does is that at the same time it's providing an avenue for a degree and continued education for teen moms that otherwise probably wouldn't attend school, at the very same time, the same day, the same moment, they're teaching these teen moms how to be good moms. that they may not otherwise have the opportunity to learn those skills, so they can enter parenthood with confidence, with a set of skills that they know work, with a network of peers that they know they can lean on that they otherwise might not have had, and a network of staff that they can draw upon to, you know, when they do struggle, and they do struggle, and they will. Raising kids is hard, let alone, you know, being 15 or 16. That's what Hope offers.
Our work with West Salem High School, their seniors have to do what's called a senior exit project, and I'd never really heard of that before. So I was impressed with that idea, and so we started adopting that same idea that all of our graduating teen moms would do a senior exit project, which includes entrance exam into an institution of higher learning. Research shows us that the more times that someone steps onto the campus of an institution of higher ed, they will more likely continue their education. So we try to ensure that they self-reflect and write their own story. So that's when they do some of that reflecting that you talked about earlier is, you know, would I do things differently, or, you know, how might my life be different, and what do I want to take forward here? They have take a career and college prep course. They take a personal finance course. Whether those are required by their high school or not, that's part of our package, because we want to place them firmly in that world, ready to go on to employment or go on to higher ed. The last step is they present all that information to their peers. So they have a transition plan in place, and so that, you know, in May, when we graduate, those that are graduating, then they get to have some time, you know, kind of talking about themselves and patting themselves on the back and saying, see what a great, you know, what a great thing I've done for myself and for my child. And then we send them off into the world.
Of the teen moms that come into Hope Academy, 100%, none of them have another child.
Which is seems like a pretty amazing statistic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think so.
Second pregnancies for teen parents who don't return to school, who don't get back into high school, mm-hmm. is very high. And so we say that we're also a second pregnancy prevention program. I also think the partnership in terms of what takes place afterwards that I see a benefit to is they're going to have a whole that mental health community, that alcohol and other drug abuse counseling, they'll be just down the hall from that. And so our hope is that they're familiar and get comfortable with, you know, seeking additional help. That's a difficult thing for particularly teens to walk in the door of an agency and ask for help. And so, you know, I think we're really very pleased that we can walk them down the hall, and they'll be used to walking in the building and seeking, you know, assistance.
Because that's probably the hardest part, is getting in the door initially, and then once you're there.
And if you're uncertain and you're not confident, that makes things, you know, even more difficult.
Do you think that teen pregnancy rates need to be reduced overall? Is it important? Is it not important? Is it something you even think about?
Yes, I would say we would love to see teen pregnancy rates reduce because of all of the risk factors that we've discussed. Again, they have been going down, which is great. But the reality is teens are going to get pregnant. They just are. And the need for this program in the community, I think will always be there. And so when teens do get pregnant, is there programming? Is there a resource for them to access that will help them stay on, you know, a positive path, rather than, you know, being a statistic, dropping out of school, you know, almost guaranteeing that they're going to live in poverty, that their child will be at risk for multiple issues and concerns going on. So though we'd love to see, you know, teen pregnancy go away, it's not going to, and we know that. And maintaining the service like this is, I think, really important.
I think there are good prevention programs out there. Mm-hmm. So in my capacity as director, I'm dealing with, or our agency really is working on the condition after that. And so in terms, I think as a community member, you know, certainly that would be, you know, my hope that teens, because I think that what I see with teen parents is there's a need to connect and to be in a loving relationship. And part of our curriculum is helping them figure out what is a loving relationship. That may not involve sex. I can say that word.
You can.
Okay. So, you know, in that sense, we're trying to say that there are a whole bunch of needs that take place in a relationship, and we want you to be in healthy relationships. So personally, sure, I'd like, you know, teen pregnancy to drop, but I guess I agree with Mike that I'm not sure it's going to happen, so I want a safety net.
Is there anything else the two of you would like to talk about today, either about the merger or about teen pregnancy in the area?
The only thing I would really, I think, is an important aspect to always remember is we can have the greatest outcomes, we can work hard, we can do good things, provide these services, or design them, provide them. Sustainability is an important piece. It's one of the things that drove us to discussions, and we believe we have can create a model together to sustain this program to an extent. But you know, some of the realities we live with as providers is that though the educational component of what Hope Academy does is typically paid for through school districts in their educational funding that flows through the state, the other components that really, I believe, I think Tricia would say, make Hope Academy so successful, that mommy and me time, that parent education, that connection for those moms is not funded. And it's what makes the program something other than an alternative school. It provides the meat, if you will, of their success. And unfortunately, Wisconsin is one of the states that doesn't fund those types of services. So we have to be strong advocates for that, and you know, keep pushing those services are needed and they're important, and not that the education isn't important, because it is, but without those other aspects of the program, I'm sure that you wouldn't see the success that you do in Hope Academy. So this merger won't result in not needing those additional funds to help support that portion of the programming.
We rely on donors, foundations. The community needs to reinvest in itself and take on the responsibility of saying that we're going to help these young women and their children be in a different place when they get done. There's also the 18 to 20-year-olds. Nobody funds anything for them. And so if they've dropped out of high school, then they're working on a GED, and there's no monetary resource.
Or they're not working on a GED.
Yes, that's
right.
Of course, if they come here,
I think that's an important point, is I truly view the Hope Academy as a prevention program. You're not going to prevent the pregnancy and the birth for a teen mom, but you can prevent a lifetime of poverty. You can prevent a mom being on welfare. You can prevent a lot of AIDS that would go to the child. You can, you know, what's the cost of a teen mom not getting a high school diploma? And I would say that the cost of providing that added support for a teen mom is a tiny, tiny fraction of what the total cost would be down the road if Hope Academy's not here.
Mike Bame is president and CEO of the Family and Children's Center. Dr. Tricia Brainerd is executive director of the Hope Academy of Western Wisconsin, which helps teen moms get an education. I spoke with them about today's announcement that the Hope Academy would merge with Family and Children's Center on January 1st. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and a special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.